So Peter is going to come along and is going to do our reading. This is from 1 Thessalonians, starting in chapter 2 and then going into chapter 3. So Peter, fire away for us.
As for us, friends, when we were separated from you for a little while, not in our thoughts, of course, but only in body, how I missed you and how hard we tried to see you again. We wanted to return to you. I myself tried to go back more than once, but Satan would not let us. After all, it is you no less than others, who are our hope, our joy, and our reason for boasting of our victory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes. Indeed, you are our pride and our joy. Finally, we could not bear it any longer, so we decided to stay on alone in Athens while we sent Timothy, our brother who worked with us for God in preaching the good news about Christ. We sent him to strengthen you and help your faith, so that none of you should turn back because of these persecutions. You yourselves know that such persecutions are part of God's will for us. But while we were still with you, we told you ahead of time that we were going to be persecuted, and as you well know, that is exactly what happened. That is why I had to send Timothy. I could not bear it any longer, so I sent him to find out about your faith. Surely it could not be that the devil had tempted you and all our work had been for nothing. Now Timothy has come back and he has brought us the welcome news about your faith and love. He has told us what you always think well of us and that you want to see us just as much as we want to see you. So in all our trouble and suffering, we have been encouraged about you, friends. It was your faith that encouraged us, because now we really live if you stand firm in your life in union with the Lord. Now we can give thanks to you, to our God for you. We thank him for the joy we have in his presence because of you. Day and night we ask him with all our heart to let us see you personally and supply what is needed in your faith. May our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus prepare the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow more and more and become as great as our love for you. In this way, he will strengthen you and you will be perfect and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all who belong to him.
Thank you, Peter. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we take a moment to be quiet now and acknowledge your presence with us.
It's great to be here with you, ISCA Church family, our ISCA Church family. We've had great times, Karina and I. We were with Exmouth as we prayed with Tim and Martina last Sunday as they're off to Italy very soon, as soon as they can get there. And they had their daughter's wedding yesterday, but the whole church commissioned them. And we're sharing together in a very exciting venture with Tim and Martina Pegler. And we've been by video speaking for the Bridgewater Church recently as well. But great to be here together and to be at the conclusion of our series on praying with Paul. And I think many of us have had these booklets. Hopefully you found them in some ways useful. And being that we're at the end of the series this morning, I'm going to be speaking in two parts, really. And towards the end of this first part, it'd be great to have any feedback. Put something in the chat this morning, and I'll give you a few moments to do that later on. But have a think now, you know, how have we learned about prayer? What have we picked up from Paul and from his example in prayer? What have we learned about God? How has our experience changed in the last 6 weeks or so? We'd love to just sort of gather some feedback today. What difference has this series made? Bit of a dangerous question, isn't it? But do be brave. Pop something in the chat if you're able. And later on, Carl will help us probably. And we'll just have a quick look through. Any things that we think, oh, we've grasped this, we've understood something, or we've been encouraged or reminded of something in a particular way. So I'm going to be setting up my sharing screen now just to have a look at some PowerPoints as we go. And as I said, we're continuing with this series on praying with Paul. Let's go for this version. So hopefully you can all see this. And last week I had a little issue. I wanted to find an O ring. An O ring. So some of you might know why I might have needed to be finding an O-ring. We'd had a bit of time away and came home to find that we had drips in the cupboard under our sink. We had a leaking kitchen tap. So by way of a little quiz to get us going today, where might we go for certain things? To buy bread? If we have toothache? To have bunions treated? Are these common things? An 1871 penny red? For an O-ring, that was my dilemma. Or to buy a new iMac. Some of these things kind of come quickly to us, don't they? We know the type of places we needed to go to. I needed to go to B&Q or some kind of DIY store so that I could secure for myself a little rubber piece that went into my tap, stop the dripping going on. It was quite obvious to me that I needed to go to B&Q. And it's obvious, isn't it? If we want to buy bread, we go to a bakery or to a supermarket. If we have a toothache, dentist. Maybe not many of us have to go to have bunions treated just yet. I don't know. Or have someone round to our house who's a chiropodist or a podiatrist. The 1871 penny red, if you wanted to buy one, you'd need to go to the bank manager. But a philatelist is the key person there, isn't it? An 1871 penny red would cost you over £500,000 if you could find one. I found an O-ring at B&Q. No coveting. If you want an iMac, you go to the Apple store. So these things come instinctively to us, don't they? They're all fairly obvious. Where do we go if we feel anxious? When we feel lonely and separated from others? When we feel helpless? When we feel weak, we just can't do anything about it. Or if people are getting on our nerves, let it be said quietly. Where do we go? Does it come instinctively to us? Now, Peter read that passage to us brilliantly. But the point when it was written, Paul was feeling some of these things. You see, he'd been in that place, Thessalonica, and he was now sending a letter back to them. And all hell had broken loose. They had been having a great time. Revival had come in Thessalonica. Jewish people were becoming followers of Jesus. Greek people were becoming followers of Jesus. But then the Jewish leaders got very concerned, very worried about this new thing going on, felt threatened, set up a huge riot, big persecution. Paul and his companions had to leave at night urgently. They had to run, literally flee for their lives. They went on to Berea, had a great time there. Another mini revival was breaking out. Same people chase them again, create more trouble. The persecution is intense and Paul has to move on again. And so he reaches a point where he stopped to think, oh, my friends in Thessalonica, I couldn't even say goodbye to you properly. Now we're separated. Like a COVID separation, now much more than that probably, different reasons to be separated, couldn't be together. And so he's yearning for them, he loves them, he cares about them, and he's desperate to get news of this church. And we've had it read to us how there'd been messages sent to and fro via Timothy, and now Paul is writing to encourage them because he's desperate, he loves them. But where does he turn to in this separation? In this helplessness, he can't go back, he'd be killed. And there are all these Jews who are making life so difficult. Who does Paul instinctively turn to? Well, it's verse 11 of our prayer for this week. Our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus. And he comes back to that at the end. It's a little sandwich prayer. It's in our books. Our God and Father, our Lord Jesus. We're going to be in his presence one day. So let's go to this God, our Father, himself. There's a personal aspect to him and to our Lord Jesus. It's there in the prayer. So when we're praying with Paul, if we're going to be picking up from his example, it's knowing instinctively where, or rather who, to turn to in the midst of whatever's going on, the joys and the celebrations, the crisis moments and the struggles. Our God and Father. Why our God and Father? Well, he gives us our sense of identity and belonging. The Spirit, we read in Romans 8, is the Spirit of adoption, makes us know that we're God's children. We belong to him. We have a place of great security and no safety. And we know we're loved, whatever outcomes are going on, by our God and Father. There's a togetherness in it. And Paul, prompted by the Holy Spirit, is just turning to God. And he says, day and night, I've been crying out for you. His connection with God is kind of continual because of a relationship, not just an activity. And our Lord Jesus. Not just my Lord, I'm not alone in this. We're not alone in any of it. Our Lord. And the word Lord speaks of his authority, his ruling, reigning, all-powerful self. The name of authority is Jesus. Now, Jesus, of course, was a human being just like us, tempted in every way like we are, understands what it's like to be me. So he's a great person to instinctively turn to, because not only does he identify with us totally, he is the one who has power and authority invested in him, given to him by God his Father, over all things. And he's the one who pleads our case. He's the one who prays for us. He's interceding for us. And his power, when he speaks, is creative. Makes things happen, makes things change. He's the one that we're turning to. That's who Paul turns to. Our God and Father, and our Lord Jesus. It's instinctive for Paul. That's how he's living his life. Sometimes when we think about prayer, it's a battle, it's a struggle. Paul Miller says, oddly enough, many people struggle to pray because they're focusing on praying and not on God. If we turn it into an activity that we have to achieve, that we have to do, and that's all we can think of prayer as, we'll struggle, we'll battle. There's an enemy who's opposing us. But Paul Miller says our focus can be on God. And if our focus is on God, we're more inclined to pray, because he is our God and Father, and he is our Lord Jesus. So, as I wrap up this first part, what have we been learning about prayer? Maybe you picked up something from what I've just shared, and we'll be looking at the second part of what Paul actually prayed later. We're just wondering now if there's anyone who's popping anything in the chat that we could be sharing around and having a little talk through. So I'm just bringing up my chat, and I know we've had lots of things about carols that we can sing in lockdown, but we have a few comments here. We have the Cummins family enjoying using Paul's prayer as a model for my own rather than just for information. And that's a pattern for us as the church. Thank you there. And also from Julia, using the prayers as a way of praying for family, friends, nations, and during early morning prayer. There's a good reference, a recommendation that we get together and pray together. It's not a soul experience that we have to do all on our own. Does anyone else want to type anything else into the chat at this point? Maybe you should be making some notes too, thinking, what are we picking up? How are we connecting with God?
So Mary Rossiter said, Matt encouraged us to be positive and pray for those things we don't know with thanksgiving.
Great. Thanks, Carl. And Mary, yeah, that's brilliant. Perseverance, says Chris. We pray with perseverance. We keep going. We continue to pray. And before we can type it in, someone already says it, don't they?
Yeah.
But we are learning. We are gathering a growing understanding of a relationship with God as we are praying. So Paul is a great example to us. And we pray in faith and confidence with trust, says Margaret Pete. That's great. So we can say that our experience of God is that he's reliable. Therefore, again, we turn to him, don't we? And that's what we're going to do now. Just remembering that quote that I finished with. Oddly enough, many people struggle to pray because they're focusing on praying and not on God himself. And we're going to do that now. And Julian's going to lead us in God's presence, in focusing on God and who he is as our Father and our Lord. Thanks. So over to Julian now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. So let's just continue to think about this prayer from Paul, this example to us. It's scripture for us. It's a revelation to us. It's not just words and ideas. And we can be changed by it this morning as we allow its example and the truth of scripture touch us. This is what Paul actually prays. May our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus prepare the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow more and more and become as great as our love for you. In this way, he will strengthen you and you will be perfect and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all who belong to him. The pain of their separation had been great, as we've referred to already. Paul was praying for some changes. May our God and Father and our Lord Jesus prepare the way for us to come to you. As I've outlined, Paul's second missionary journey was beset by persecutions. And he's praying, despite all the opposition, the threats to our lives, may God make a way for us to come to you. I think that connects pretty well with us. It seems like parts of our nation are going into a second phase of lockdown. We're very aware of coronavirus and its impact on our lives socially. And it seems like, oh, we're here for a long haul of difficulty, of separating from one another and not being able to do things that we once used to do. Paul was in exactly this position. But he's saying, may God make a way ahead for us. He doesn't just sit back and say, God, you've got to do something here. Paul sees himself as part of the answer to the prayer. He's the one who's going to do the moving. He's not just asking that God will move. Paul's open himself to the fact that he will move. He will find a way. May there be a new way. In life at the moment, we're looking for new ways and different ways of doing things. We have to. We can't just, although it might be cozy for a while to be just us in our homes, we need connectivity. We need one another. And now God is opening up opportunities to us by giving us creative thoughts. How can we meet up? What can we do? How can we share in fellowship together and be and do church things in new and different ways? But Paul was asking that God would make a way. That's our prayer too. When we think about this now, from where we are now, I think I was talking to some folks at Belmont and they'd been praying this week. May God give us eyes to be looking forwards rather than hearts that are just looking backwards. We could be thinking, oh, can we go back to how we did it? Our yearning, and therefore an enhanced sense of loss perhaps, can be that we go back how it used to be. But no, God could be saying to us today, no, there are ways forward. There are new ways to find. May God give us eyes and creativity to find those new ways. We're going on. You see, Paul had to keep praying this prayer because he didn't make it back to Thessalonica very quickly. In fact, he had a whole nother journey, and it was several years probably before he made it back, but he did go and see those believers there again. Paul prays that he will move, not just that God will move. Then he prays, may your love for one another grow more and more. It's a simple prayer. Paul knew what it was to love these people. He was wrenched from them. And he says, I want to be back with you. Well, may your love grow in the same way for one another. This is a great prayer to be praying as church family, over and for one another, thinking of one another. Daily be thinking about others and saying, may our love grow for one another. May it increase. What are the hallmarks of loving one another? Just want to give you a few, because these are the type of indicators of knowing that we're loving one another as Jesus would love, and as Paul was emulating Jesus in loving those people. Just a few ideas. In this particular time and season that we're in, we have to be wise, but not fearful, especially in our dealings with people, don't we? Sometimes people come a bit close when you're out and about. We want to be considerate of others. We want to be wise ourselves in how we deal with others. We want to communicate well. We want to listen to where others are coming from. We can be using our homes, being hospitable. We want to be filled with grace. We want to be those who can say sorry. We want to be those who can ask for forgiveness and ask others, will you forgive me? Knowing with a confidence that we've just been singing and thinking about, that we're family together with God, we love one another in his name, and we can be in a family of forgiveness and forgiving people. We can be filled with grace. We can encourage one another. I don't know what Nigel Chanter thinks, but I've been encouraging people, use the post a bit more, send cards and greetings to one another. Encourage one another, give thanks to one another. Don't wait until they're not here to say thank you. Let's be thankful for lots of things going on. I'm hearing more of that, which I'm delighted about as well, even in this meeting today. We got to be open and real. Do you like wearing a mask? I forgot. I was just going into the shop. Oh, I forgot my mask this week. But I had it in my pocket ready. But sometimes in our way we conduct ourselves with one another, our love for one another would leave us to be a bit distant, to not want people to know too much about us. But Paul is praying, may your love for one another grow more and more. We can be open, real, honest, transparent. There are many positive outcomes when our love for one another grows. And then he also prays, this is his third request, may your love for all people grow more and more. Our love for others, all people, anywhere, everywhere, especially and including those not like me. May our love for others grow more and more. Jesus was renowned, and you read it in the Gospels time and again. He had compassion. He was moved to do things because of his love for others. Growing in love for all people, what's that like? Here's a few other things. Having time to listen. Living justly. We've heard so much recently about the slave trade, and yet modern slavery impacts our lives. And we've got to be thinking about how we shop, how we interact in just and fair ways, and do our bit to live justly. befriending those who are not like me. Everything about social media seems to polarize us these days. Many things are black or white, us or them, but there are many colors in a spectrum. But we need to not just think in terms of those who are like me and those who are not. If we're loving all people, we'll be speaking of Jesus to them. It will just happen because he's the love of our lives. And we will find ourselves taking caring action. Those are some of the types of hallmarks I'd just highlight to us today. There are many more. So this is the summary of Paul's prayer. May the way be open for us to come together to encourage one another. May love for one another grow, and may love for others grow. In this way, he goes on, God will strengthen you and make you perfect and holy in the presence of God, our Father. And when the Lord Jesus comes, we'll be with him. There are outcomes to this prayer. But you know what? Sometimes I think I'm rather more interested in praying for those outcomes for myself and making that the focus of my prayer. And I found that I've made myself the focus of many prayers over the years. Lord, make me strong. Lord, make me a better Christian. Help me to pray more. And I'm actually the focus of the prayer. And we get it back to front a bit. Paul says, if you love, if you seek encouragement, and you love others, these things will happen as a result of God's actions in our lives. Wow, isn't that encouraging? We'll have strength to stand firm when it's difficult. We'll be with others, encouraged with others, if a way has been made for us to share together and be together because we love one another. And we love others, and God's message will ring out from us personally and collectively. And we'll be ready to be in God's presence and with our Lord Jesus. So if we're going to pray with Paul, then I think these are the types of things that we're reflecting on this morning. That we will know immediately who to turn to. And that he is the one who will make us mobile and flexible. Make us can-do people. And he'll make our love for one another grow and grow. And may he make our love for all people grow and grow too. This is what God is interested in doing for us. So I'm going to pray this prayer with a few words in italics that I've amended. And you pray aloud with me as we pray together in conclusion these words of Paul. And let's just be open to the Holy Spirit changing and developing us as we pray them together. If you can see the screen, it's there. If you're looking at the book, then use the book, and it's about the second prayer in from the front, from Thessalonians. So let's go together. Let's pray. May our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus prepare the way for us to be mobile and flexible. May the Lord make our love for one another and for all people grow more and more and become as great as Paul's love for the saints. In this way, he will strengthen us, and we will be perfect and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all who belong to him. Amen.